Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The second law of thermodynamics says that things tend to break down and become more disordered over time. So how does that apply to life, particularly a family? Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's read verses 1 through 15. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. One summer when I was a kid, the furniture and appliance store that my parents worked for got a contract with a local motel there to replace all of the television sets and all of the television stands in the motel. As I recall, there were 40 or 50. All the stands, all alike, all assembled. My brother and I got the job to put the stands together. I remember when we got paid that I held the money in my hand. I thought, this is the most money I've ever had in my life. It was about $5. A set of instructions came, and all the parts came in each box. Each came with their own little wrenches. And before long, it was like an assembly line. Do the same thing to a group of them, and then move to the next step. And okay, so it was mostly my brother doing the work. But, you know, I remember the boxes. I remember the boxes. They were kind of long, they were flat, and they were fairly wide. And you could stack them up and make the greatest tunnels and forts that a kid ever had in his life. It was great. What if raising kids were like putting together those stands? You do the same thing, exactly the same way to each. That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, that's not the case, and you know it. Each child is unique. And just as there are general rules to follow in assembling most things, as my boys learned it, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, there are general rules to follow raising kids. And did you catch what Moses said? He said, well, my kids are grown. And he talked about the fathers, the sons, and the grandsons. Let me tell you, we may not be the ones that take kids home and put them to bed anymore and change diapers. But we as the body of Christ, we as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, we have responsibility about raising children. So what are the general rules? A general rule of assembly is parents teach children their convictions, Parents inadvertently teach that which is most important to them. So what are you teaching? Grandparents, what are you teaching? Moses is here teaching the people before they go into the promised land God's commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. And he does so that they and their children and their grandchildren might know to fear and reverence the Lord. God created people not only with the capacity to worship, but with the need to worship, Have you ever known somebody that was just completely discombobulated in their lives? And the problem was is that they had not connected with the one who they needed to worship. And we live in a world that's discombobulated because we have turned, as a world, as a people, we've turned away from the Lord our God. Well, it's up to us, the church, it's up to us, the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, to teach children our convictions. And the first of that is to worship. God expects you to live life a certain way. And life lived any other way ends up in calamity. Would you like for me to give you a few case studies? Moses also teaches the people to love the one true God with all one's heart, with all one's soul, with all one's might. Intellectually, we're to do it with our true inner selves and with all we are physically. The Lord is unique. He is exclusive. So this love is not an emotion as much as it is first obligation or fulfilling a legal demand. And that is obedience. And this love is what a person is convinced of. Parents and teach their children what it is that they are convinced of. We teach our kids our convictions. So parents, be convinced that God is true, unique, and worthy of worship, and worthy of obedience, and teach your children your convictions. I came across this story. The pastor was called to the home of some of his church members. They wanted to talk about a particular problem in their lives, and the problem was it was their son. He was in trouble. He was using drugs and various things, but they said, you know, the thing that gets us most is that the boy is lying to us. He lies to cover up this. He lies to cover up that. Lies, lies, and more lies. I don't know where he got that, one of them said. About that time, the phone rang. The father whispered to the wife, if it's my boss, tell him I'm not here. You may have heard that story, but it's just as true. We teach that which we are convinced of, that we have convictions about. So parents, what are you teaching your kids? Grandparents, what are you teaching your kids? This morning's faith will never do for this noon. That Francis Schaeffer said this. The faith of this noon will never do for supper time. The faith of supper time will never do for the time of going to bed, because life is a new thing every moment. So faith must be new every moment too. Are you teaching them to love God with all they are because you love God with all you are? Are you teaching them to obey God, to live and do as he says, because you live and obey God in all that you do? If I asked for a show of hands, it would need to be everybody over the age of 15. Do as I say, not as I do. We've all fought that, and that never works. Do the choices you make, even when extended family is in, show that worship of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. Are you following this rule of assembly? A general rule of assembly is that you teach by lifestyle. In life, more is caught than taught. Another way of saying that is a person tends to do as he saw done or had done to him. regular routine instruction is necessary. And God directs you to internalize His words. Put them on your heart. A nice little plaque on the wall is not enough. We need to put them on our heart. And regular routine instruction is necessary. And so God directs you to internalize His words. Put them on your heart. Think and meditate on God's word. Then teach them to your kids, to your grandkids. Etch God's word into them, into their lives forever, forever. A weekly class is great, but that's not how God says to do it. We are to do it at home. Did you catch what He said? Put them on your forehead.
I wouldn't want to look well around town looking like that.
Well, if that taught your kids God's word, would it not be worth it? Would it not be worth it? We are to teach God's word at home every day. Make teaching God's word part of doing stuff or sitting around. That's what Moses said. If you sit down, if you lie down, if you get up, if you're walking along, whatever you're doing, teach God's word. World Magazine reports that a United Kingdom family credits their pet parrot with teaching their 4-year-old autistic son, Dylan, to say his first words. Well, how did a parrot do that? Before the parrot arrived, Dylan would try to speak, but the sound came out as a noise, Dylan's mom said. Then we got Barney the parrot. And a few months later, Dylan began to talk. It was only the odd word, but I could clearly understand what he said, the mom said. A speech therapist confirmed to the family that a parrot's slow style of speech and endless repetition can actually help learning disabled children learn to talk. Did you catch that? A slow style. How many of you live what you would term a slow style of life? Yeah. I saw one hand that I would argue that point. Because we do things. And endless repetition. Some of you are in the Philippians study with me. Do you know Philippians 3, 9, and 10? I think it's the verses. You say, you don't even know the verses? Yeah, you know why? Because I didn't slow down enough to try to memorize them. Oh, I'm too old to memorize anything. No, you're not. You may be too, well, I better not say that. I got to deal with it. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching our families? Are you teaching them God's word? It's not enough to raise them in a moral household. It's not enough to take them to church. Because kids instantly see through people. They see to what is most important. So are you modeling a life of devotion and obedience to Christ? Men, fathers especially, are you the one that's taking the lead? And I got to tell you, we went to a couple summers back in June. We went to a conference down at Mountain City, and I came out of there with such conviction because as a father, I failed. If it had not been for Kim, our kids would not have caught any more, gotten any more than what they would have caught at church. I understand from a lifestyle understanding, because my dad was not the one involved. Oh, he took us to church. He was always in church. But my parents didn't do this at home. And we've got to, as parents and grandparents, do this at home. And I've said to my sons and my son-in-law, please do better at this than I did. Are you following this general rule of assembly? A general rule of assembly is that your teaching is preparing for the future. You're always living for a more important day, but you're always living for keeps. Moses was preparing the people to go in and take the promised land. What had been promised generations before was about to happen. It was about to happen. They were to let their future determine their present. They were about to witness God's provision of cities and houses and goods and food given to them. There was that whole long list of all this. You didn't build it, but you're going to get it. You didn't grow it, but you're going to eat it. You didn't plant it, but you're going to get to... All this stuff that had been done by somebody else was about to become theirs. But they needed to prepare for the future. And that is where a danger we need to watch out for. Do not think that you are self-sufficient. Human hands do not provide for now or the future. So we are to fear and reverence the Lord, for it is He who gives good things to you. You say, well, you don't know what's in my bank account. It doesn't matter. It can go away tomorrow. Here again, children learn what they live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to dislike himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Did you hear the future in each one of those? Are you preparing your kids for the future? Are they seeing you pursue Christ? You say, again, my kids are grown. They still need to see their moms and dads, their grandparents, whoever it is, they need to see them pursuing Christ. They need to see them growing in Christ. Too often what we want now is quiet. But for the future, we want kids to read well, enjoy learning, and fulfill their potential. So why is it that we go tell our kids, go watch TV or play for hours on a video game? What we want now are things to go smoothly. In the future, we want self-sufficient kids. Why do we do everything or give them everything? In the future, we want kids to love and trust God with all their hearts. Then why do we now act as if He is the last resort? And remember, too, that what you do in moderation, your kids will tend to do in excess. Well, the second law of thermodynamics is generally true in families, in people, in society, that everything tends to be falling apart. And God is calling you to live His way, raise your family His way. Will you? Will you?